You're listening to the weekly podcast with Pastor Steve McCoy from 360 Church in Sarasota, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to press beyond ordinary.
I'm going to start off with a question, and I'm going to ask you to be really honest with me, because if you're not honest with me, and you're not honest with yourself, we're probably not going to get to go very far this morning. So how many of you would be honest and say this? Looking back, I have some regrets. There's some decisions I wish I could redo or do over or kind of go back and change. Anybody? Okay, good. So some years ago, they're going to put a picture of my family up on the screen. Our first daughter was graduating. She's the one in the green. Her husband's not in that picture because he is a youth pastor down the street at Bayside Community Church. And that was Mother's Day a few weeks back. And he was kind of tied up that morning at church himself. So my daughter there in the green right next to me. First daughter graduating, first child graduating from high school, Riverview High School. And so my wife came to me and she said, "Hey, Steve, we need to do something. We need to have a party for Lindsay." I was like, I'm all in. Let's do it. What can we do? So it was about 2 months out. She said, "Why don't we do this? She graduates on this date, and the next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Why don't we have the party on Memorial Day weekend?" I'm like, "Great. Let's look at the calendars. Look at my calendar. All I have is I have a wedding that Sunday night on Memorial Day. No problem. Let's do it." About 2 weeks later, I get a call from a couple in the church. They said, "Hey, Pastor Steve, we want to get married. Would you do the wedding?" I'm like, "Well, when is it?" "It's Memorial Day weekend." I'm like, when do you want it? "Saturday night." "Sure, no problem. I can do that. I can swing that." 2 weeks later, I get another call from a family friend. They said, "Hey, Steve, our daughter's getting married in our backyard. Would you do the wedding?" "When is it?" "Memorial Day weekend." So I start looking at my calendar, and I'm like, "Sure, no problem. I can do that because Lindsay's party is Saturday morning." So I had a rehearsal Thursday night. I had a rehearsal Friday night. I had a wedding Friday night. I had the party Saturday morning. I had a rehearsal Saturday afternoon. I had a wedding Saturday night. And then I preached Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening I had a wedding. Now, you ever seen the S on Superman? You know what that stood for me? Stupid man. Because the entire weekend, all I could think about was, I'm going to mess this up. Three weddings. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to say the wrong name. I'm going to say the wrong thing. This is going to be a disaster. I was waking up at night and having cold sweats. And I was anything but engaged, anything but present with my first daughter at her graduation party. And I literally had to go to her afterwards and say, "Lindsay, I'm sorry. Your dad screwed up. Would you forgive me?" See, we all have regrets, don't we? We all have regrets. We all have things we wish we could go back and redo and do over and change. Maybe it was money that we spent that we really didn't have, and so all of a sudden we're in debt and the credit card bills are coming in. Maybe it's a relationship we shouldn't have gotten involved in, and we realize it too late. Maybe it's a job or a promotion that we realize we shouldn't have taken, but we did. Maybe it's a business deal that we shouldn't have signed off for, but we did, and it went sideways. Maybe it was a move away from friends or away from family or away from a support system, and we didn't realize it was too late. Maybe it's a decision we made that left us in pain and left us in brokenness. As we move forward and in its wake, there it was, all that pain and brokenness we had to deal with. See, we all have regrets. And often we look back and we wonder, what was I thinking? How could I have been so blind? How could I have been so dumb? How could I have been so foolish? What was I thinking? And here's the thing. Some of those times we have to admit it to ourselves. We knew better, right? But we did it anyway. We had friends, we had family, or people close to us saying, "Man, that's not a great idea. That's not a great idea to do." But you know what? We decided, you know what? They don't know what I'm really going through. So we went full steam ahead, and then we found ourselves in the situation we were in. Sometimes we knew better, and we did it. We just did it anyway, in spite of all that. Or maybe we were deceived. Maybe somebody kind of gave us this story and this picture, and it looked really, really good, and we were deceived by that person. It could have been a friend. It could have been a colleague. Could have been a family member. Or maybe, honestly, we deceived ourselves, right? We talked ourselves into it. We justified everything and we said, we can make it happen. We can make it work out. I can do that. See, sometimes we have these regrets that looked good at the beginning, but when we find ourselves in the situation, we realize it wasn't that good. But what about regrets that aren't necessarily wrong? What about regrets that as we look back and we've made these decisions and maybe they were actually good decisions? They weren't necessarily bad decisions. What do you do with that? I mean, as I look back on that weekend, here's the deal. Weddings aren't wrong, right? Two people growing in love, wanting to commit themselves to be married for the rest of them, their lives, you know, loving one another and until death do us part. What's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Why did I experience and still to this day struggle every once in a while? I have to go to my daughter and go, sweetie, you really did forgive me for that, right? Yes, Dad, I forgave you for that. Why do we experience regret? But here's what went sideways in my situation. I asked the wrong questions. Is it right to do the weddings? Is it wrong to do the weddings? Can I do the weddings? If it's not right, or if it's not wrong, then it's right, right? Isn't that how it works? If it's not wrong, then it's right, right? Not exactly. Because when it comes to choices, when it comes to our time, when it comes to having margin for the people we love the most, for the things that we want to be available for, and to do the things that matter the most, is it right or is it wrong or can I do it, really are incomplete questions. And if that's the lens that you and I view our choices through, and those are the questions that determine what we're going to do, and if that's the best use of our time and the best decision we can make, it's probably going to leave you and I with some regret. See, here's something to consider. God, the God that we serve, the God that we were just singing about, the one we were saying, hey, I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, singing hallelujah, that's all I have to offer you. That's the same God who doesn't want you and I living a life of regret. Isn't that nice to know? John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Nothing good in that. But Jesus said this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So God created you and I to have a life of fulfillment or a life to the full. And he desires that we come into this relationship with him and that we love him because he loves us so much and he desires that from us and we love others. That's what his desire is. And so when you and I do that, when we love him and we love others, it points to him, it brings him glory. And here's what's really cool about this. When you and I live that way, this is what it does for God. It brings a smile to God's face. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool to think about. I can bring a smile to God's face. Now, I know there's some times when I do this to God's face. Oh, I can't believe Steve did that again. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But we can bring a smile to God's face. See, God created you and I to live a life of fulfillment. Life to the full. Now, here's the flip side, and you know this. There's an enemy, right? And he is adamantly opposed to what God wants for us. So if God wants this, enemy wants the opposite. And he'll do whatever it takes to kill and steal and destroy the fulfillment that God wants us to experience. So here's God's plan. Ready? Maximum fulfillment, minimal regret. How many of you think that sounds good today? Me too. Here's the enemy's plan. Maximum regret, minimal fulfillment. What's that look like? Well, I've already said that God created us to be in this personal relationship with him. And when we come into that personal relationship, the Bible says that he seals us. He puts his presence, which is his spirit, we call it the Holy Spirit in church, but it's really God's spirit in us. And when that spirit comes and moves in our lives, it should cause us, it should help us live differently than we lived before. It should help us live differently than the people maybe around us or the people in the world, the people that aren't trying to live the life of following Jesus Christ. And it also helps us in what we choose to use our time in, what we choose to do with our time. See, here's what I want you to get today, and that is this. Living wisely involves intentionally investing our time wisely. If you and I want to live wisely, it's going to take intentional investment on what we value and what we use our time doing. When we live wisely, we intentionally invest our time wisely, here's what happens. You and I experience maximum fulfillment and minimal regret. And that's what we all said we wanted. So here's where we're going today. And the Bible has a ton to say about this. Three things I want to cover today. Here it is. First one, what are the warning signs when it comes to how we use our time? What are the warning signs when it comes to how we use our time? You know, sometimes in a car, the battery light comes on or the oil light comes on and we know, uh-oh, that dash light. I need to do something about that, because if we don't do something about that, pretty soon our car's not going to be running anymore. So we're going to talk about some warning signs that come on in our lives. Here's the second thing. We're going to recognize some truths about time that all of us share, we all have in common. And here's the third thing. We're going to look at how we can make decisions to invest our time wisely so we experience what God wants us to experience, life to the full, maximum fulfillment, minimal result. And if you don't hear anything else I say today, if you've already checked out and you're looking at your grocery list for the rest of the week or whatever, here's something I want you to get, because this is a fact, but sometimes we live as if this is fiction. And that is this: time is a limited treasure. If you don't remember anything else, I pray to God that this is what you remember. Time is a limited treasure. All of us get 1,440 minutes a day. Nobody gets more than that. It evens the playing field, regardless of whether we have money or we don't, whether our race, our color, position, title, etc., degrees, it doesn't really matter. 1,440 minutes per day, period. And we don't think about that unless something happens or somebody maybe close to us passes away. April 29th was a Saturday. It was only a few months ago. We got a call that my mother-in-law, Esther, had fallen, and she was on her way to the hospital. Beautiful lady, loved Jesus with everything she was, treated me more like a son than a son-in-law. Loved her. I know some people struggle with their in-laws. I did not. Pensacola, Florida is where they lived. We got the call about 6 o'clock, and we grabbed a quick dinner, and we were staying close to the phone. Got another call that said, Mom's had a massive brain bleed. I don't think she's going to make it. So my wife and I hopped in the car and we drove to Pensacola, a long trip. Got there, went into the room, and she wasn't going to make it. And so for a few hours, we sat there as they kept her alive, waiting for her sister to get in from North Carolina. When her sister Lois finally got there, we sat around the bed and we sang hymns and we praised God. And in and out of the room came nurses, and we kept handing them tissues as they were crying with us. One of them said, I've never seen people sit around a bed and sing hymns like that. See, that's when we recognize that time is a limited treasure, isn't it? And it all comes home for us. Or on the news, we hear about a submarine that imploded and people lost their lives like that. We average 72 years of life. That's roughly a little over 26,000 days. And maybe you're here today and you're going, man, that sounds great. But if you're 27 and a half or over, you've already used up 10,000 plus days. Think about that for a minute. See, there were some heavy hitters in the Bible that had a few things to say about time. One of them was King David, one of the greatest kings Israel had ever had. And this is what he said in Psalms 90. He said, teach us, he's talking to God, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. So we may grow in wisdom. And then the brother of Jesus, James, had this to say. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Man, time is a limited treasure, isn't it? It really is our most precious commodity. So what are some warning signs? What are some dash lights that say to us, you know what? Maybe you're using your time the wrong way. That's what we're going to look at for the next few minutes. And it's found in a quick story in Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to that, or you can turn your Bible on by, you know, your phone. I get that. And it's about two sisters in a little village. Here's where we're going to start. Verse 38, it says this. While they were traveling, he entered a village, he being Jesus. So Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. And then we see this, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So here's the setup. Jesus comes into town with his disciples. He goes to the house of Mary and Martha. They also had a brother named Lazarus. You guys probably know that. Yeah, you know him. He's the one who, you know, alive, dead, alive, and then dead again. Right? One of those crazy things. Jesus brought him up from the dead. So here they are. Jesus comes into their home. He's good friends with them. So they're sitting around the house, and Mary and Martha had a choice to make. Both of them had the same choice. The choice was, how am I going to use my time since Jesus and the disciples are here? And what Mary said was, I'm going to create a moment. I'm going to create this moment. And it's going to be not only that, but she didn't realize it was going to be a teaching moment. So she created this moment. I mean, I'm sure that Mary had things to do, right? Maybe she had laundry in the washer. Maybe she had to go grocery shopping, you know, as before Amazon delivered to your door, or, you know, Kroger delivered to your door, or Winn-Dixie delivered to your door, or Publix delivered to your door, or Walmart, you know, pick up whatever. Maybe she needed to vacuum the house. But she made this conscious decision to do, I'm gonna make this wise decision that I am going to sit and embrace this moment, and I am going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to listen to him. Now, on the other hand, Martha was stressing out. And here's the thing, Martha wasn't distracted by anything bad. It wasn't anything evil. It wasn't sinful. As a matter of fact, in those days, it was expected that you were a warm and a gracious and a kind host. So Martha was trying to do exactly what was expected of her. And the truth is, if we're going to be honest, many of us would have been distracted by the same thing. I can imagine what Martha was thinking. Oh, what did I do with the good plates? We haven't used those in a while. Did I light the vanilla scented candle? Jesus likes the vanilla scented candle. Did I light that one? Wait, did Lazarus leave any toilet paper on the roll? Probably two squares like the average male. Don't elbow anybody. That's not nice. Do the hand towels match the shower towels? She was stressed out over her choice to use her time, for things that really weren't wrong. That really weren't bad. In a sense, they really were the right things to do. What's interesting is, at this point, though, the Prince of Peace is sitting on her living room couch, but Martha has no peace. See, if we're doing good things, and our stress level is increasing, it may be a dash sign that we're using our time in the wrong area. So if your stress is increasing, maybe you need to step back and go, wait a minute, I may be using my time in the wrong area. Let's go on. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. Man, break out the cheese and crackers, because we got a lot of wine going on right here, don't we? Lord, tell her to give me some help. I mean, you can just picture this, can't you? You can just hear the wine coming out. So here's the second thing. Your stress increases, but sometimes when we're doing something that is not the best use of our time or the wisest use of our time, our focus decreases. Jesus was sitting in her home, and her focus was on everything but Jesus. See, we get so focused on what we're doing, we miss the people around us. Cue Steve on Lindsay's graduation weekend right there. That's me. And sometimes as men, as guys, as dudes, we work and we work and we work and we work harder and we make more money and we want to achieve more things because we believe that that's what's going to show our family that we love them. And guys, I want to talk to you for a minute because I is one. What our wives and what our kids really want is us. To be present, to be engaged, to be connected with them, to be listening to them, to be loving them, and probably to be laughing with them. Now look how Jesus answers Martha. The Lord answered Martha, He said this, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary, necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. How do you think Martha felt in that moment about her brown-nosing little sister Mary after Jesus responded the way he did? Here's another dashlight. Sometimes those relationships around us start to suffer. When we're choosing to use our time maybe for good things, but we start to feel that tension in the relationships, our relationships begin to suffer. Because when we're stressed out, our mind is it rarely disengages and our focus starts to wane. I mean, we can be with those people we love, but not really be with those people we love. We can be present, but not present. We can be distracted by these things right here. You know what? I love my phone, but this thing is the most distracting sucker in the world. I can be sitting there with my wife, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at my phone. I'm thinking, man, my wife is much better looking than my phone. What am I doing on my phone? We can be around our kids, but not even notice what's going on. And it's not just with God, with people, but it's with God. Sometimes our relationship with God can suffer when we're making those choices, and it's another dashlight. I can't tell you how many people I've met in my life, and they're like, hey, Pastor Steve, how you doing? I'm like, hey, man, how are things going, man? How's your relationship with God going, you know? Oh, man, Steve, we used to be tight, man. Me and God, we were tight. I was in the Word, and I was praying, and it was good. And then I'm waiting for it. But I got busy. I got overloaded. I took on too much stuff. And all of a sudden we say, man, we're too busy for people and too busy for God. And here's something I want to tell you that you're not going to like me for saying. But I need to say it to my... Whoops, there we go. Sorry. I need to say it to myself. Our choices control our calendars. Some of you right now are going, man, don't ever invite him back. I understand that. In other words, here it is. Our choices, my choices, control how and what we spend our time on and what we spend our time in. And here's a truth that will always be true. If you don't control your calendar, someone or something else will. I had a good friend here today that he taught me that. 18 years of meeting with him. He has taught me a lot, but that's one of the things that Steve Crump's taught me. If you don't control your calendar, someone or something else will. And when that happens, the urgent always overtakes the important. And this might explain why you're a little stressed out right now. Maybe this will explain why you're struggling to focus. Or maybe this will explain why you're watching maybe some relationships around you become more distant. Listen, FOMO's a real thing, right? None of us want to miss out. We struggle with disappointing other people. We struggle with the fear of falling behind, you know, the person on our right and the person on our left and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But our choices ultimately control our calendar. And we've got to control those choices or the urgent's going to overtake the important. So those are some dashlights that maybe our time, maybe we're choosing to use our time in a way that is not the most healthy way. And if we want to live wisely, here's what we need to know. Living wisely requires recognizing time is limited and then realigning our limited time. See, the first thing we have to recognize is that something's going on that I'm not making the wisest choices because I'm stressed out, my focus is not where it needs to be, and the relationships around me are struggling. So if that's the case, I need to figure out how I can realign my time so I can correct those things. In 2009, a lady named Bonnie Ware wrote an online article. And this is what the article was called. It was called The Regrets of Dying. Great article, right? It was about her time as a palliative care nurse, a hospice nurse. She was with patients the last 3 to 12 weeks of their lives. And it provided her this amazing opportunity to develop these deep, close relationships with them and to have raw, honest, transparent conversations about life and about death, including what these people wish they had done differently. See, at that point, they're ready to be honest about some things. And she happened to be there for them. This came from every male patient that she cared for. I'm going to give you the top two. Here's number two. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. See, they missed their children's growing up years. They missed their spouse's companionship. And there were a few women that said that, excuse me, but it was a little different generation. But men, every single one of them regretted spending so much time on the treadmill of work. And then here was number one. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Think about that for a minute. I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. See, they suppressed their feelings to keep the peace with others. They settled for a mediocre existence, and they never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Oh, I keep cutting out there, sorry. They didn't use their time as wisely as they should have. And it left them with resentment, and ultimately it left them with a lot of regret. Time really is a limited treasure. And when we figure that out, and when we understand and admit to ourselves that our choices, my choices, control our calendar, my calendar, then that's when the ball becomes in our court. We can keep doing the same thing and hope for different results, which you all know is the definition of insanity, or we can make some changes. Because here's what I want in my life, and I bet you want in your life. You want to live, when you get to the end of your life, to be able to look back and go, I lived with maximum fulfillment, and I have minimal regret. And what we don't want to look back and say, I had maximum regret and minimal fulfillment. And that's what God desires for us, to live a life to the full. So how do we do that? Well, there's a guy in the Bible that gave us a couple of scriptures that I think are going to really be able to help us today. And this is one of those guys that was, he was kind of a big hitter. Beside Jesus, who is the absolute star of the Bible, by the way, in case you didn't know that. He's a star of the Bible. There's a guy named Paul. And Paul was this guy that chased and arrested Christians at one point. He put him in jail. He broke up families. He tried to eradicate Christianity from the entire earth. And then one day he's on this trip, on this road to Damascus, and he has this encounter with Jesus. And his life radically changes. And instead of trying to take out Christianity, he begins to teach about Christianity. And he begins to teach about this Jesus guy. And he goes all over the Roman Empire and he helps plant and establish churches. And then he writes almost 2/3 of the entire New Testament as we know it today. So this guy, think about it. You talk about a guy who was on a trajectory for maximum regret and minimum fulfillment, right? To all of a sudden, maximum fulfillment and minimal regret. He knows what it is to regret, but he changed course. How did he do that? Well, what did he do? Well, he decided he was going to do something differently. And this is what he says. Ephesians chapter 5. Pay careful attention then to how you walk. Now, what does walk mean? Walk actually means, in the scripture most of the time, it means how you live your everyday life. Pay careful attention then to how you walk or live your everyday life. Ready? Not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of the time. Can you say that with me? Making the most of the time. One more time. Making the most of the time. Because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. See, careful means spending time on things that truly matter. And if you want to look at it, the opposite of careful is careless. Now let me ask you a question. Is the pull of culture to the most important things of God, or is it away from the most important things of God? I think we all know the answer to that, right? Right, so the pull of culture and time is to go and spend your time doing some foolish stuff, not the wisest things. And Paul says, be careful, not careless. Don't live as unwise people, but live as wise people. Making the most of the time. In other words, be careful how you live every day. Be careful what we plan. Be careful what we say yes to. Here's a little secret. When you and I say yes to something, we're automatically saying no to something else. That's the reality. When I said yes to those three weddings, what I was saying no to was being present and engaged in my daughter's fantastic graduation weekend. I blew it. When we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else. Be careful what we put on our calendar. Because what is going to happen is those choices are going to direct us to a life of either maximum fulfillment or maximum regret. And God wants us to enjoy a life of maximum fulfillment. So in other words, be careful how you and I live every single day. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, Steve, I really wish, you know, there was a way that I would know. Because my list has been, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? Can I do it? And remember, I said those are really incomplete. See, the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote that scripture, had another way of looking at it. And this is a filter that you and I can use in our lives for every decision that we have to make. Every decision we have to make so that we are moving in a direction towards maximum fulfillment and not maximum regret. And here it is. Holy Spirit, is it wise? Not right, not wrong, not can I do it. Holy Spirit, is this decision that I am pondering, is this decision that's in front of me, is this thing, is this wise? Is it wise? Because Paul said we're not to live as unwise people, but to live as wise people. See, when we ask this question, you and I are living, practically living, and understanding that time is a limited treasure. See, is it wise, understanding that my marriage needs attention, is it wise to take on something else? Understanding that we are struggling in our marriage relationship, is it wise to take on something else and pile it onto me? In my current financial situation, where we're struggling a little bit, things are a little tight, is it wise to go buy a new car or go on an expensive vacation? Is that wise? Is it wise? Not right, not wrong, can you do it? Is it wise? Maybe you're here today and you're a teenager, a young adult. Especially teenagers. Teenagers, if you're here today, here's what's interesting, or if you're online today. When you graduate high school, you are probably going to see most of the people that you graduate with high school three or four more times the rest of your life and really have any kind of serious interaction with them. I'm not talking besides, you know, you see them on Facebook. I'm talking, you know, face to face. So maybe the question for you is it wise to give into the pressure of what they say to put into your body or what to do with your body or what to do with somebody else's body when you're going to see them three or four more times? Is it wise? Is it going to lead you to maximum fulfillment or maximum regret? Is it wise? Maybe you've got young kids at home and there's a job opportunity that you're kind of pondering right now. Is it wise when you have small children at home and you want to pour into them and you want to raise them up in the Lord, is it wise for you to take on a job where you're traveling 3 or 4 or 5 days a week? Is it wise? Not is it right? Not can I do it? Is it wise? Maybe you're here today and you're single and you're like, you know what? Someday I want to have an amazing, happy, vibrant, God-honoring, healthy marriage. Is it wise to date someone who doesn't share your faith in God, who doesn't share your values, who doesn't share your morals? Is it wise? Not is it right, not is it wrong, not can I do it? Is it wise? See, See, Paul gave us the formula and the filter. What am I going to do with my time? What am I going to do? Hey, am I going to make this decision or that decision? Is it wise? Holy Spirit, is it wise? And then Paul said this as I close it up in Galatians. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, as we are living, walking every single day, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We keep in step with Him. So we are constantly saying, Holy Spirit, is this wise? Is this a good use of my time? Is this a wise use of my time? Is this going to lead me to maximum fulfillment, or is this going to lead me to regret? As we walk with the Spirit, we ask the Spirit and we trust the Spirit to say, is it wise? It is. Yes, then why go? Is it not wise? Then no, I'm not going to go that direction. See, time is a limited treasure that you and I have. Then when we realize that, we can begin to realign our limited time by asking this question, by filtering everything through it. Holy Spirit, is it wise? I want you to bow your heads with me today as I close. And I want to ask you two questions, just all across this place. First question is this. If you have to look back and you go, man, this is something I regret. Maybe there's some regret in your life. How could it have been different if you would have used this filter? Holy Spirit, wise. Holy Spirit, is it wise? How could that have been a different outcome? I'll let you think about that for just a minute. Here's the great news. God is forgiving, and He's loving, and He's kind, and He's compassionate. And so today, if you have a regret, you can bring it to Him and say, Heavenly Father, would you forgive me? And that forgiveness is going to be waiting on you right there. And you can count on that completely, wholly, fully. Here's the second question. What are you facing right now? What decision, what thing in your life is pressing in on you? Would you take just a minute to say, Holy Spirit, make the wise. Would you help me make the wise choice, the wise decision? Is it wise? Is this decision that I'm looking at, is it wise? Would you give me the wisdom to know whether I'll move forward or not? Is it wise? Because God wants you to experience maximum fulfillment, not maximum regret. Is it wise? Time is a limited treasure. Understanding that, Holy Spirit, is this wise? Heavenly Father, as we close today, thank you that you're a God who is timeless, but you're also a God who is giving us and given us time. Father, would we use this filter? Would I use this filter? I know, Lord, if I were to use this on that graduation weekend, I wouldn't have the regret. Father, as we move forward, would you help us to use this filter? Is it wise? Holy Spirit, is this wise? So that we will take advantage of the time, the limited time that you have given us, the treasure of time that you have given us, so that we can live a life of maximum fulfillment and minimal regret. Father, across this place today, there may be people who are dealing with regrets. Would you remind them that you will forgive when they offer them to you? And you will make them new. That's your promise. You will make all things new. That we become a new creature, a new creation, a new creature, a new creation, I should say, when we trust in you. Maybe in this place today, there's somebody who doesn't know you personally and they've never really stepped into a relationship with you. Today would be a great day for them to just say, Jesus, I need you. I've messed up so much. And if that's you today, I want you to know you can't mess up too much for God. You can't outrun His grace. It doesn't work that way. You can just say to Him today, Lord, forgive me for my sin. I want to start this walk with you, this daily relationship with you. To my right, your left, is some people who would love to pray with you. And after I get done praying, I just wanted to let you know they're going to be standing there, and they would love to just listen and care for you and lift up whatever need you have. So I want to invite you, after I pray, to be able to have the freedom to do that. So Heavenly Father, as we close our service today, remind us that you have given us time as a treasure to use it well, to use it for maximum fulfillment, to live life to the full, because that's what you desire. Remind us that we have an enemy who doesn't want us to do that. Remind us, Lord, that we can always come to you and ask, is this wise? And you will give us the greatest and best counsel that will never leave us wanting, never leave us with regret, but will always lead us towards maximum fulfillment. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. And special thanks for those of you who give generously to make this ministry possible. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can also subscribe or share it with your friends. For more information about 360 Church, visit us at the360church.com.